So when I think about it, I think about a large part of the religious, for me, a large part of my faith is having a community and belonging. And I think back to like middle school when I started to be really aware of my sexuality and that I wasn't like everybody else. And it was one thing that separated me from everybody else. At school, at home, at church, there was a direct message that what I thought I was, what I was becoming, was not the norm. And so I didn't fit in. And I spent a lot of years just trying to hide who I was, covering it up so that I could fit in, so that I could feel that love and that acceptance. When I was 20, I was invited to go to a Pentecostal church by a friend who didn't know anything about my sexuality, but I was not saved. I had not had that moment with Jesus. I was raised in a Missouri Synod Lutheran home. By the time I was 18, I was like, yeah, nope, done with that. But I am hardwired for God. There is something in me that needs to be in that community, that needs to be practicing that faith and to be seeking God in that way. So I had not been in a church in a long time. So hearing that there was this church that wasn't what I'd grown up with was great. And so she invited me to go, and going and hearing them say, all of those things that you're afraid to tell anybody, all of those things that hold you back, all of those things that you know are keeping you away from God and keeping you away from more community, Jesus can take them all away. So there was this, oh, I can worship God here, and I can practice this faith of being with God, and I get like healed from all of this crap that's keeping me separate and making me depressed. I remember thinking, they're telling me that they can fix everything that's wrong with me. So the concept was still that my sexuality was wrong. And my choice was to either live in that wrongness or to fix it. So when you're broken, you fix it. And so I did the whole altar call, give your heart to Jesus. And within about 3 months, I knew that this sexuality was becoming stronger and stronger. And I was also going to college back east. So I would leave here in Tacoma and I would go live back east for 9 months. So I had these two lives going on. And it was just getting hard to maintain those two lives. So I came home one break and I went to a pastor and I said, I struggle with being a lesbian. And in fact, I may have said I struggle with lesbianism because that's the language that was used. And right away, they put me in with a counselor, and I started a 10-year trip through ex-gay reparative therapy, where their whole process was to take out the homosexual from me, that I would be saved from being a homosexual. It was probably a demon that was living inside of me. I was oppressed, not possessed. And we knew that because I went through 3 exorcisms, and I had to date a boy. And they would tell us how to dress, and they would tell us what to do, and he was also trying to be straight. It was pretty bad. And they would tear you down. The whole process was to completely take you apart to put you back together. So for 10 years, I go to group sessions and private sessions, and I go to women's groups where I learn how to sit properly, and I learn how to do my makeup, and I learn how to do my hair, and I learned all of the ways to be a good woman. At the same time, my boyfriend was going and learning how to be a good man. And they tear apart everything that you are, because if it's not woman enough, it's not good. So then you hear about how horrible it is and how it dishonors God. And so for 10 years, I go through this tearing down of myself. And it got to the point that I was suicidal, severely depressed. And one Wednesday night church, I was at my rope's end, knew that I probably shouldn't drive. It probably wasn't a safe thing for me to drive. So I called a friend and I said, just come get me. So she came and got me. We went to church, and the pastor who was over me, because this was a mega church, the pastor was over me, came up and he looked at me and he goes, I know you've been struggling. What do you want most? And I know that what he wanted to hear was, I want healing from the Lord, or some ridiculous, I want free from all of this. And I looked at him and I said, I want my mind back. And he didn't know what to do with that. One, because women weren't supposed to have minds that they wanted back, because you're not supposed to think. And he literally opened and closed his mouth a couple times, turned around and walked off. He was just done. I sat through church and cried the whole time thinking, I don't want to be here anymore. I want to die now. I'm done. And we're leaving church, and another friend of mine who was the worship leader stopped and, "Jane, I saw you weeping during church. I'm so concerned for you. How can I pray for you?" And I said, "I need to stay alive through tonight." And she said, "I'll pray." And she got in her car and she left. And that feeling of not belonging, that feeling of not being in community was just hitting wave after wave, that I was like, for 10 years, I've been doing everything I could to fit in here. And I don't. I am not part of any of this. And went home, spent the night, most of the night awake, crying. Called in sick to work the next day, and I was like, I'm going to go to Target. I was going to do retail there, because when all else fails, go buy something. On a clear day, when you pull in to the Target parking lot, it's right by Highway 16, and straight ahead of you is the place where the mountain exists. So on a clear day, you can sit in the parking lot and see this 14,000 foot high giant rock. So it's always there. And it has become for me, and it was at that time, it was just the sign of the steadfast. This is sure ground. This is safe ground. This is holy ground. And it was a cloudy day, a lot like today is, you know, the clouds are off and on. And when they're like this, our mountain is hidden. You can't see it. So I was looking in that general direction. I was like, I know you're there and I can't see you. So that there was definitely some of that. I can't see it. It's gone away from me. And I just said, okay, God, okay. Okay, ready? I'm gay. Okay? What are you going to do about it? That's what it is. And in that moment, the clouds moved and there was Rainier, clear as a bell, like just right there. And I was like, oh, okay, we're good. All right. Particularly in the Christian tradition, you're looking for symbols. You're looking for signs. And they're replete through the Hebrew scriptures. We are taught that you can test God. You can ask for signs and that God will give them to you. So as a Christian, one of the things you do is you look for that symbology. Rainier, the place where God dwells. It's what it means. And for a Christian to be able to be in the place where God dwells means that your heart is okay. That who you are at your core is acceptable, just as it is. So for me, when the mountain appeared, it was just like God was going, I'm okay. I'm okay with who you are. There was healing that I needed in my spirit, but it wasn't what I thought it had been. I had let the world come in and influence who I thought I was. I'd let the world come in and direct my thinking about myself rather than for me trusting that what I knew to be true was that I was wonderfully and fearfully made. And it wasn't that instant like, okay, God, we're all good and life is happy, but it was setting a foundation that was really strong of going back to that. When all else fails, I go back to, okay, this is how I was made and I'm okay the way I'm made. In fact, I'm wonderful the way I'm made.